Good morning. That's a good question. That's a great question. So how would you answer that question? Just ideas. Look, and that is a Bible verse there. That's a Bible verse. So someone asked that question. Look, water. What prevents me or what stops me from being baptized? So give me some reasons that stop you from being baptized. Why would you not? Anybody have a suggestion? Why would I not?
I'm not saved.
Oh, there you go. There's a good reason. Not saved. Isn't that a great reason? That's the big reason, I think. Why not be baptized? Because baptism, Christian baptism, is for saved people. So any other baptism is not Christian baptism. Yeah. So I was baptized as a baby. They took water and sprinkled it over my head. Was that a baptism? Well, it wasn't Christian baptism, was it? Had I believed? I was a baby. Any other reasons why don't be baptized? Why not? I'm out of reasons, but I'm hoping someone else has a reason. Sometimes you might say a person is too young. How old does the Bible say? It doesn't say. But a child has to believe. And the parents need to be convinced that the child actually is saved. Also, the person baptizing the child also needs to be convinced. So sometimes we would say, well, let's wait a little longer till the child matures. And we do that because we do not want a child to think because he or she is baptized, that makes them saved. The big answer here is the reason is if I'm not saved, I should not be baptized. And if I was baptized before I was saved, it's not Christian baptism. I'm not baptized. All right, look, water, what prevents? And this is from the Bible. And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. So this is straight from the Bible. Someone asks the question that you may be asking. And a man said, look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. Philip was a disciple. And the Bible teaches us that disciples baptize disciples. That is so easy. That's all the Bible says. We do not need a church official, but disciples, baptized disciples. And Philip was a disciple. He was a teacher also. He was an evangelist. And the man who asked the question was called the Ethiopian, because he was from Africa, right? Ethiopia is in Africa. So the Ethiopian answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that's right from the book of Acts. So the Ethiopian believed. He asked to be baptized. And Philip said, if you're saved, I'll baptize you. He didn't even wait for a special Sunday. Just baptize him, just like that. I was saved October 8th, 1972. I think it was 72. October 8th, 1972. That was a long time ago. And in December, I thought about baptism. I read about it. I said, oh, I need to be baptized. So my friend and I were driving down the highway, and you know what I said? Look, water. And you know what my friend Spencer said? He said, it's December. So we might add one. Look, what keeps me from being baptized? Maybe ice. So my friend said, talk to the church leaders, and I'm sure they would be glad to baptize you. And they did. Inside. So the big question, as we think about this today, is, are you saved? And we ask that because salvation comes before baptism. So, could you answer this question? That's your question to answer today. Are you saved? Are you saved by the Lamb? We are going to look at Acts chapter 8, and we're going to read a little of how the Ethiopian eunuch trusted Jesus. Acts chapter 8. And let's begin just by reading Acts 8, 25. In verse 25, it says, so when they, that's the apostles, that would be, I think, Peter and James, had solemnly testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they started back to Jerusalem and were preaching the gospel to many of the villages in Samaritan, of the Samaritans. People in Samaria were hearing the gospel and they were trusting the Lord Jesus as their Savior. So it was a very exciting time. They're preaching. People are going, oh, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. And this whole group of people trusted Jesus. Lots of them. And it was exciting. And verse 26 then says, but an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, get up and go south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. It's a desert road. That would be very hard. Here there's an exciting time in Samaria, because people are hearing the word of God. They're trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. And God takes one of the best workers. His name is Philip. He says, Philip, leave this group. I want you to go to the desert. Do you know how many people are in the desert? Not very many. The desert's something you go through. And so God sends him to a man who didn't live in the desert. He sent him to a man who was going through the desert. So, verse 27, Philip got up and went, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. Let me just explain that for 1 second. This Ethiopian was an official to the queen of Ethiopia. And it will say in 1 minute, he was in charge of her finances. So this is a very, very important man that Philip is stopping on a desert road. It says he was in charge of all her treasure, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And so here we have in our story, there's Philip. I don't know what he looked like, but picture, that's Philip. Philip's the preacher. And then there's the Ethiopian. And what is that thing that he's riding? Is it a Honda? It's not a Honda. It's not a Ford. What is it? It's a chariot. Yeah. Chariot. And so he's in this chariot, this wagon that's drawn by a horse, and there we have met them. God told Philip, I want you to go to the desert, and I want you to meet this man. As Philip came up to the chariot, he heard the Ethiopian reading the Bible. That Ethiopian had found a copy of the Bible in Jerusalem, and he was taking it all the way home back to Africa with him. And he's very carefully reading it. So he hears him reading the Bible. That's what he was doing. Man, what if you had to read that? What would you do? I can't read that. That's Hebrew. So he's reading the Bible. It's not his language. Have you ever read something and you don't quite understand the language? This is how I read Karen. I pronounce a word, I have no idea what it means. And long ago, that's how you used to read English. Now everyone reads English as good as me. But he's reading this strange language, but it's the Bible. That's how the Bible was written. And he was reading a book in the Bible. And the book in the Bible he's reading is the book of Isaiah. Isaiah is a prophet who wrote a big book in the Old Testament. And of course, when we say Old Testament, we're talking about the part of the Bible that's written before Jesus is born. And then when we talk about the New Testament, we talk about the part of the Bible that's written after Jesus is born. So he's reading the part before Jesus is born. And he has questions. So Philip, there's Philip again. Philip asked the Ethiopian a question. He said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" That was a great question. What's he going to answer him? Do you understand? And he's going to say, "How can I? Unless someone guides me or helps me." So what's Philip going to do? Well, there's no one else in the desert to talk to. He's going to talk to this man about Jesus Christ. The man is reading the Bible. He's reading one of the best books in the Bible, Isaiah. He's trying to understand the Bible. And Philip offered to explain it. It sounds like me before I was saved. I had no idea what the Bible was about. And I was glad for the man who sat down with me and helped me understand how to be saved. If you're not sure about your salvation, you need to sit down with someone who knows Jesus and make sure you have eternal life. I volunteer. I will be glad to show you God's promises from the Bible. He said, "What if you die today? If you die today without Jesus, then you have to pay for your own sins." So this is really important. If you die today, and please don't die today, but if you die today with Jesus, your sins are already paid. And you know what the Bible says about people who are saved? It says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now I hope you have that confidence. Do you know, if you were to die today, do you know you'd open your eyes and see the Lord Jesus? Death stops nothing. Paul says death is absence from the body. You'll be leaving your body when you close your eyes in death, and you will open your eyes in the eternity of your choice. So he says, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And so in Isaiah, he was reading about a lamb. This gets more and more interesting all the time. The man is in the desert. He has a copy of the Bible in a foreign language. He's reading it. He's trying to understand it. God brings him a preacher, Philip. And Philip says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he's reading Isaiah. And then he's reading in Isaiah about a lamb. So guess what chapter he's reading? Bible students. If he's reading about the lamb, what? Now, there are other lamb verses in Isaiah. But if I said, find a lamb verse in this book of Isaiah, what chapter would you think about? And we have, someone said, 53. That's right. He's reading Isaiah 50. I mean, it's right up there. Can't you tell? Can't you read? What's your problem? Well, the problem is we don't read that. But he had a question, and his question was, who is the lamb? See, Isaiah talked about a lamb. He's trying to understand the language. He's trying to understand the Bible. And who in the world is the lamb? So let's try something. Let's translate this. Go ahead. Oh, I thought we had a translator. What's the problem? I'll do it. Wing. Okay, translated. There you go. We got it in English. So, in the book of Isaiah, now it translated to English, it says, like a lamb that is led to slaughter. What is slaughter? Does anyone work in the slaughterhouse? That was a big job when I was a kid. You work the slaughter and you get to kill the animal. So he was to be put to death. He's like a lamb that's about to be put to death. And he's going, who is this lamb? Isaiah says 700 years before Jesus is born. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers. So we have two things a lamb can do. And we have a lamb, number one, that's going to be killed, or a lamb that he's going to have his wool cut off so that they can make clothing. And whoever Isaiah is talking about, he's like a what? Like a lamb. And he's like a lamb that's silent. And so he did not open his mouth. And that in our Bible is Isaiah 53:7. He's going, who is the he? And this is very confusing to him. Who is the he? And he kept reading. Verse 8. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Oppression is when you're pushed down and you're oppressed. Again, I can't define it with oppressed, but you're pushed down. And so by oppression and judgment he was taken away. And so who is the he? He's going, who is it? Who was taken away in judgment? Who considered that he, there's another he was cut off. Who was cut off out of the land of the living? For the transgression, that is a word for sin. That means to break God's law. And he said, whoever this he is a lamb. He died, and he died for the sin of my people to whom the stroke was due. Do you know what a stroke is? Bam, that's a stroke. Could be a sword. Whoomp, that's a stroke. And who was the stroke supposed to be for, according to this Bible passage? Who was the stroke for? The stroke is... it's supposed to be for Isaiah's people. The stroke, they should have gotten the stroke. Can you imagine how confusing this is? So what is he talking about? It's a lamb, but it seems to be a man. It's he. He died. He was judged. He was judged for sin. And so, you know what Philip said? Jesus is the lamb. Isn't that simple? But way back here in the Bible, Jesus was not born. But God showed us beforehand that a lamb would come. That lamb would be a man. And that lamb would take the stroke that I should get for my sin. But Philip knows that Jesus has been born. The Lamb has come. And so he explains it. He explained to him about the Lamb of God. He started talking to him about Jesus from this passage. He filled in all the he's. He, Jesus. So, we could do the same thing. We could go back and say, let's fill in Jesus. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a lamb that is silent before its shears, you're going to say when it says he, Jesus, so
Jesus did not open his mouth. All right, this is your job. By oppression and judgment, who? Jesus was taken away. Who considered that? Jesus. You don't sound very happy about this, are you? Are you excited that Jesus came? I don't know. We should try this again. Be a little excited. Jesus came. Jesus took the stroke as you should have gotten hit. You should have gotten hit. Okay. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearer, so
Jesus.
Thank you. All right, try it again. By oppression and judgment,
Jesus
was taken away. Who considered that?
Jesus
was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people to whom the stroke was due. So, who is the Lamb?
Jesus
is the Lamb. Yes. And John the Baptist said this when he saw the Lord Jesus. Just like the Bible said, when John the Baptist saw the Lord Jesus, he said, look. He said, gua, gua. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Wow. I'm glad Jesus was born. I'm glad God became a man. I'm glad Jesus died for my sin. And I'm glad he's alive today. He's alive to save. So these are review questions. We only have one review question. Number one, who is the Lamb, everyone?
Jesus
is the Lamb. Now, Philip didn't just say, this is Jesus. He explained to him what the Lamb had to do from that passage. He said, from this passage, the Lamb had to be cut off. The Lamb had to die. Jesus had to be cut off. So what must the Lamb do? The Lamb must what?
Die.
All right, number one, who is the Lamb?
Jesus.
What must the Lamb do?
Die.
And he's dying for my sin. And this is what John says. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And, well, let's keep reading. Who is the Lamb?
Jesus.
And what must the Lamb do?
Die.
The Lamb must die. And then, why does the Lamb die? Same Bible passage. He died, or he was cut off. So you understand, cutting off is dying, right? Okay. He was cut off for the transgression. Now, I just explained this, so I should ask again. What is transgression? What kind of sin is transgression? There's a lot of kinds of sins. Transgression is breaking God's law. Okay, so if you've ever lied, thou shalt not lie. I don't know, what commandment is that? That's God's law. What commandment is thou shalt not lie? It's number 9? 9. Number 9, you shall not lie. You shall not steal. What commandment is that? Yeah, I think 8. Oh, you shall not commit adultery. 7. See, these are all laws that you have broken and that I have broken. And the transgression is the sin that breaks God's law. I'm sorry to say you are guilty. I'm sorry to report, me too, I am guilty. Every one of those 10. Of course, God didn't just give the Jewish people 10 laws. When Moses wrote his books in the Bible, he gave the Jewish people 613 rules. And if you broke one of those rules, you break the whole set. You break the complete set.
And so why must the lamb die? The lamb must die for my sin. Okay, so why must the lamb die? The lamb must die for my what?
My sin.
My sin. Absolutely. And so that's very important. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Who is the Lamb?
Jesus.
All right. And what must the Lamb do?
Die.
And why must the Lamb die?
My sin.
You got it. My sin. It's two-word answer up there. My sin. Not just sin. My sin. Remember back here. I'll just give you some. Oh, here it is right here. Okay. Let's read this together, this Bible verse. From behold. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John 1:29. Now, we have the Lamb must die for my sin, right?
Yeah.
It says for the sin of the what? Here, what's this?
World.
The world. Are you in the world?
Yeah.
If you're in the world, that means you're born, you're a human, you're in the world. Jesus died for you. That's very important to know. Everybody here, I mean, if I could pick up someone who was really terrible, I would pick you out and say, Jesus died even for you. I could say that from a Jesus died even for Craig, a terrible person. But what about the good people in this room? The people who try to keep the rules. Well, Jesus died for you because you didn't keep the rules. So, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin. Are you in the world? Then Jesus died for you. And so that's what the Ethiopian eunuch heard. And so Philip explained to him something I'm going to explain to you now. This is going to make it easy. Before Jesus, instead of a man dying for sin, what took the place of the man until Jesus came? What took the place? What animal is this? It's a sheep. It's a lamb. It's a sheep. Yep. And so, before Jesus came, God said, kill a lamb. Kill a lamb. The lamb really didn't do much. But, it got people ready to trust Jesus. And it taught them everything they knew, everything they needed to know, when Jesus came. So let's think about the lamb. This man has what on his life? This man has sin on him. He has broken God's law, just like you, just like me. I have sinned, the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so this man has sinned. Because of sin, what must happen to this man? He must die. So that's very easy, okay? This man has sinned. Because of his sin, that man must die. Because sin must be paid. God is holy, and he must punish sin. And we know God is love, and he wants to save you. So you have God is love. He wants to save you. And then God is holy. He must punish sin. And those are two rules. Both of them are true. And so before Jesus, this man then brought a lamb. And that man, in a symbol, in a picture, he took his hand. Will you be my lamb today? I picked you because you have curly hair. Okay? And I put my hand on him, and my sin went from me to who's this? Don't say at yourself.
This is, you're my lamb. Okay. My sin goes from me to Akishah. Thank you for taking my sin, my lamb. Okay? Now, where's my sin? Put my hands on Akishah here. Sorry about this. Put my hands on Akishah. My sin goes to Akishah. Where's my sin? On this lamb. And my sin is gone from me. So he puts his hand, and the sin is now on the lamb. I'm so sorry. Because now, who must die? Akishah must die. Does anyone have a big stick or something? A knife. Akishah must die, because Akishah, you have my what? I'm so sorry. But it's the picture, right? You've got the picture. The man has sin, he must die. He puts his hand on the lamb. The lamb takes his place. His sin is on the lamb. The lamb must die. It's not the end of the story. What now does the man have? The man has no sin. Because the lamb has his sin. And we killed Akishah, so my sin is taken care of. But what do I have? The man has life. You see, the lamb died for that man's sin. Jesus died for my sin. So there was a trade. The man has no sin, and now he has life. I think that's clear. And here's what Isaiah 53:6 says. If this is the book and the chapter that the Ethiopian was reading. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53:6. Do you get it? Are you seeing what's happening here? Like, I put my hands on Akishah, right? And I tried to make my sin go from me to Akishah so Akishah should die in my place. But up here, who is taking my sin and laying it on someone? It's not me. Who's doing it? It says we're sinners, we all went our own way, and so the Lord, that would be God the Father, laid on, well, give me a guess, who's the him? Jesus. So let's fill in the blank, let's read it and read Jesus, okay? I'm going to start right here. And the Lord has laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. You don't sound exciting. This is my picture. This is where your sin leaves you and goes on your substitute. Please be excited. This is your part. Him is Jesus. All right, let's try it. And the Lord has laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53:6. And of course, this is iniquity is another word for sin too. It means we sinned on purpose. My sin's not an accident. Jesus took the sin that I did on purpose, and the Father in heaven put that sin on the Lord Jesus. How much sin? All. All the sin of the world is on the Lord Jesus. And there on the cross, Jesus wanted you to know that all sin was paid for. So before he returned to heaven, he said, "It is finished. It is paid." My sin to him, he made the payment. It's paid.
And now the lamb died for my sin.
This sounds like a trade, doesn't it? You ever trade things?
What kind of things do you trade? We used to trade books when we were children. I gave a book. Someone gave me a book. They were comic books. That's the books I read. What do they call them now? They're graphic novels. That means they're picture books. So we traded picture books, and I always got gypped. I always gave away something good, and I got something bad in return. I was the loser. Look at the trade that's happening here. Who's the loser? The Lord Jesus is trading, and he's taking my what? My sin and my death. That's not a very good trade. That's what Jesus is getting. That's what I gave him. What is he giving me? The trade is he's giving me his righteousness and his life. So righteousness is the opposite of sin. Sin is not right. Righteousness is 100% right. Isn't this a great trade? It's not great for the Lord Jesus, is it? He got the bad end. But you and I, we come to him as sinners. Lord Jesus, I have sinned. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying and paying for all of my sins. I trust you, Lord Jesus, to do what I can't do. Thank you for the gift of eternal life. Will you trade your sin for Jesus' righteousness? Will you trade your death for Jesus' life? I wish I could make salvation harder, but there's nothing you can do. It's so easy that people will say, no, I have to do something. You can't do anything. Jesus has already done 100%. And so he offers you a gift, doesn't he? If you pay one penny toward a gift, it stops being a gift. Jesus is not asking you to help him. Jesus is asking you to come to him as helpless, someone who cannot help himself. Would you do that? And the Lord Jesus will save. And so back to the Ethiopian eunuch. When Philip, he said, what hinders me? What stops me from being baptized? And Philip's answer was, he answered and said, this is the Ethiopian eunuch's answer. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. God the Son, who came from heaven, died on the cross. 3 days later, he lives to save. He's God the Son of God. Do you believe this? And the Ethiopian eunuch was so excited. He said, yes, I believe that. And how long did he wait to be baptized? It was the same day he was saved. It was the same day. And then, of course, he went on his way rejoicing. He was saved. The baptism didn't make him saved, right? The baptism was his way of saying, Jesus saved me. Salvation comes before baptism. And that's very important to understand. So, let's review what we know so far. This is what you're taking home. Who is the Lamb?
Jesus.
Alright, good answer. What must the Lamb do?
Die.
Good answer. Number three, why must the Lamb die?
My sin.
My sin. Alright, is Jesus your Savior? And we have learned today that salvation is before baptism. So my question is, have you been saved by the Lamb?
Yes.